even because of our history as Texans, really relish is our freedom. Sometimes they say you can't tell a you can tell a Texan anything, but you can't tell him much. And that sometimes is true, because we see things sometimes a little bit different than everybody else does. And again, goes back to our history and all that has taken place in our great republic and now our state, as we are a part of the United States. But our true freedom comes from our Lord. There is no freedom without Him. And we talk a lot about freedom. We talk, even as we have Memorial Day weekend coming up, and I mentioned earlier about the freedoms that men and women of the past and even currently serve so that you and I might enjoy our freedoms. And freedom, oftentimes, people do not comprehend and understand, comes with a price. No freedom is free. It costs. And our freedom as sons and daughters of our Creator came with a cost, the cost of the life of Jesus Christ. So oftentimes we confuse two things. We confuse a life without limits to be the same as a life without boundaries. They're not the same. And they're not the same in God's Word, as we will look this morning. The title of the message is A Life with No Limits. No limits in our life. And I ask you to stand to honor the reading of God's Word in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, if you're able, beginning in verse 22. Paul writes, is writing here, led by the Spirit. He says, "For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freed man. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called." You may be seated. So we understand that all of us were slaves to sin by the very nature of us being born man, as we read in God's Word. The difference is how we live that life. And that life Jesus talks about in John. He says, "I come to give you an abundant life." So what does that abundant life really mean? Well, in a secular world, if we look at it from the world's perspective, that means we have the money to do whatever we want to do. We can buy the bright pink truck that Megan so desires now. If you've looked on Facebook, and if you haven't seen it, look at Miss Deanna's shirt, and that's what that entire truck looks like. Somewhere along the way, Papa put a boundary. Nope. Ain't happening. And Mary Jane said, "The bright pink truck is staying in Louisiana." So that's not a limit. That's a boundary. See, the limit would be that, Megan, you can't desire to have that thing. That's a limit of her freedom. But the boundary is we're not buying it. So the same is true with our life. You can let Miss Megan know she made the message. The boundaries God sets on our lives, you know, and a lot of times in talking with people about giving their life to Christ, they talk about, "Yeah, but you have all these rules and regulations. I can't do what I want to do." And nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus said, "I come to give you an abundant life." Folks, do you understand that that abundant life is a life without limits? Not boundaries, limits. We have a God who is limitless. Amen. There is nothing he cannot perform, nothing he hasn't already done or will do. When you think about it, you look at it just as the human race, okay, Adam and Eve, they sinned in the garden. We know that God once destroyed the earth by the floods and the waters because of the disobedience of man. That same God who created from the soil Adam to begin with and created all things very easily could have said, "Now we're just going to wipe this out and start completely over." That's not what he did. In fact, as soon as the sin occurred in the Garden of Eden, as you read in the book of Genesis, the red veil or ribbon, if you will, of salvation began immediately after that and carries through the rest of the entire Bible to the present day. That meant that God did not limit his love for you and I. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." That's limitless love that he has for us. Limitless. So the difference between that limitless that he speaks of, that he has the love for us, Jesus says, "I come to give you an abundant life." You can very easily take and put in that abundant life a limitless life of abundance. Limitless. The limits that we find ourselves in at different times of our lives are ones that we impose. We have a limitless God, but yet we put limits on him. We sometimes say, "Well, I don't know that this is big enough to take to God." If you're interested, it's big enough to take to God. He cares about everything you care about. He wants to be a part of everything you're a part. And right behind that, there'll be those which are devils trying to give them those lies who says, "Yeah, but it says you cannot do this. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not." Those are boundaries. Doesn't mean you can't cross them, but they're a boundary. They're a boundary for you and I for God's safety, not to limit our abundance, not to limit our life, what we can do, what he will empower us to do, but they're boundaries to keep us safe. A lot of you in here own cattle or sheep, goats, whatever, horses. We put fences around our property to keep the cattle, the animal, the livestock in. When you have children, you put fences around the area where they're playing. Why? Are you trying to limit their play or their freedom to run? Not at all. You put that fence as a boundary so they don't get out in the street and get killed. It's for safety. Well, if we know how to do that as a parent, imagine how much more God knows how to do it for us. You see, his boundaries are for our protection. It does not mean that we no longer have the freedom. We can cross that boundary. It's usually not good result. But we can cross that boundary. You know, if your mama or your daddy told you not to do something, and they had that certain look, or in my case, when they said, "Stacy Dwayne," when I heard that middle name, and I've even seen that with Jacob out of Russia, "Jacob Dwayne," he knows there's a line right there. He can go ahead and cross it, but he ain't going to like the result. Okay? And the same thing we do with those fences. We put it up for the protection and the safety of our livestock because we know if they get out here on the highway where somebody's driving 70 miles an hour at a minimum, that livestock we could lose as well as that person could lose their life. You see, it's a protection. Doesn't mean that that old bull is going to stay in them fences. He sees them pretty little heifer cows over at that other guy's place, he's probably going to jump a fence. But it's for protection. there is a difference between boundaries and limits. For you and I, we have a limitless life that God allows us to have, meaning He opens up the door of everything. In the day, in the New Testament, it always talked about what type of foods they could eat. You remember that with Peter? And Peter fought with that, and God brought down it, and He was trying to tell him, and finally Peter understood. What He said is, you're limitless about where you take the gospel. Yes, it was to the Jew first, and then to the Gentile. Thank goodness He prepared for you and I, the Gentiles. It went everywhere. It was limitless. In fact, in prophecy, He tells us that one of the things that we will see at the end of the time, there will not be anyone who has not had the opportunity to hear the gospel. Now, I understand the internet can be a bad thing, but also the internet is a good thing. Do you realize there is no known language that the Bible has not been translated into today and is accessible? Not a single one. That's limitless. God's Word, as hard as people tried to stamp it out, we talked this morning about Memorial Day and those who served in World War II. Adolf Hitler's whole intent was to burn every single Bible. Guess what? It didn't happen. They're still here in print today, all around the world. God says that My Word will not return to Me void. So therefore, it is limitless what God can do. And you and I have the opportunity, by knowing Jesus Christ, His Son, of which He gave no limit to His love and sacrificed Him, that we too are limitless. We have boundaries to keep us safe, but not limits. Turn, if you will, over to 2 Corinthians now, chapter 12. Told you we'd get there. I just got ahead of myself. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 7. Paul writes these words. He said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given me as a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." Two things in that one verse. He's having to suffer an affliction. We never know what that is. But he's suffering some type of affliction. And Paul himself says, "I got that affliction. I've talked to God about it." When you read through here, he's pled with Him. The next verse will tell you, "Concerning this thing, I pled with the Lord three times that it might depart from me." But yet God understood and knew Paul inside out. He knew him when he was Saul. He knows him when he's Paul. And God allowed whatever that thorn in the flesh is, Paul come to realize, it is so I don't think too much of myself. A boundary. A boundary that keeps me focused on the Lord, that kept Paul focused on the Lord. Look as it continues. In verse 9, he said, "And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" That's limitless. God put a boundary for His protection so that He didn't take His eyes off of the Savior. But through that, the Savior gets proclaimed and glorified. "Therefore," in verse 10, "therefore I take pleasure in my infirmities, in my reproaches, in my needs, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Our strength comes oftentimes through our very weaknesses, at least what we perceive to be weaknesses. And then the old devil likes to creep in on us because we realize we have a weakness. And he says, "You know what? You can't do what the Lord's asking you to do." We've seen that throughout all of biblical history. You remember Moses? God came and said, "You'll lead My people out of Egypt." And Moses said, "I can't do that. I stutter. And he said, "That's all right. I got Aaron for you. Your brother speaks well," and Aaron was the spokesman. See, God always has a way for us to accomplish whatever it is that He's put on our heart to accomplish. As we read in the first, it says, if you were called a slave, when you were called by the Lord, which each one of us are, to have the opportunity to accept His Son, Jesus Christ, He said, you are no longer a slave, but you are God's freed man. He said, but once you understand and accept Jesus Christ, you become His slave. And that's the old English. You become the Lord's servant. Not in a way of servitude, of enslavement, because Jesus said, I do not call you servants, but I call you my friends. A close, endearing term of the day and even of today. I have a lot of acquaintances. You think about your life. I have a lot of acquaintances, but I have a few friends. Friends means that I open up and they open up and we let them within our inner circle. Acquaintances are people we meet all the time. I've never been to their house. They've never been to mine. I might know their wife's name or a child's name, but not really all that much about them. They're acquaintances. But those who are my friends, I know about them. They know about me. And Jesus said, I call you my friends, and you shall be elevated to my brothers and sisters in Christ. Scripture tells us over and over. And I want you to ponder that a minute. You think God doesn't give you a limitless life? Nobody knows you better than you. And I'll be real honest, I have a hard time fathoming. And I believe what the Bible says, that I will sit as Christ sits to the right hand of the Father, you and I sit to His right hand as His brothers and sisters. Scripture says that when we invite Christ into our heart, we become holy and righteous. Now, I can believe the term holy, but it's not H-O-L-Y. This old boy can be holy, W-H-O-L-E or L-Y. But righteous? That's a stretch. But look at what we just read when Paul prayed. God said, my grace is sufficient. Man, God's grace opens you and I up to be limitless in His kingdom. Limitless in what we can do following His Word, letting the Holy Spirit guide us as He comes to give the gospel, so are we. Turn, if you will, over to Luke chapter 4 for a moment. We're almost done. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 16. So he, talking of Jesus, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood to read. I want you to get that picture. Here's Jesus, the Son of God, in church, and he picks up God's word to read what the Father has said. And as he was handed the book, in verse 17, of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty, freedom, for the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book, and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled for your hearing." Isaiah was a prophet of old that wrote that. So many times I hear the deal, well, the Old Testament's not applicable anymore. I praise God that it's applicable. For you see, without those prophets and those words of prophecy, Christ would never have been born. They are the one who prophesied that the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Holy One, was to come. You and I live past that point, that we know He does live. And His coming was strictly for exactly that. John chapter 8 and verse 36. "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." A life of freedom is a life that is limitless. Jesus put a boundary around it when they asked Him, "What are the greatest commandments?" And He said, "These two I tell you, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And second, love your neighbor as yourself." You see, that's the boundaries. And think about those two for just a moment as we close. Think about all we see in our world today. If we loved our neighbor, in other words, other people, as we love ourselves, how much fighting and killing would we have? How much stealing would we have? How much adultery would we have? See, we see evil abound everywhere. For evil is trying to take pride. Evil is trying to gain monies. Evil is trying to gain power, a power evil can never have. Because a limitless God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to succumb to death that He might resurrect Him. And all who believe on Him shall be redeemed. Your salvation came that you will spend all of eternity in heaven rather than hell. It's the two options. If you don't know Jesus Christ personally, you'll never get to heaven. We take on Memorial Day, as we think about it, and we emboss names of those who have sacrificed on walls. Nothing wrong with that, to honor those who sacrificed for our nation. Jesus has a book that has the names for who He sacrificed, called the Book of Life. If your name is written in that book, that will never be destroyed, then you, my friend, have a limitless life, not only in heaven, but in the here and now. If you do not, then your destination is hell for all of eternity. It's that black and white. And for those who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you're limitless in what God can do through your life if you open it up and give your life to Him. We're oftentimes faced with the decision, sometimes between two things that we feel like, well, Lord, this would be good. I feel You leading me to both directions. I just don't know which one to choose. You see, a limitless life means that you don't have to choose. God may make a way you can do both. That'll really transform your thinking in what God is capable of. Not what we're capable of, but what He does through us. Paul said, "I give praise of my infirmities, of my reproaches." We gave this morning the outcome of a long battle, almost 2 years, Miss Bonnie has been fighting. Imagine what it would have been like if she gave up and said, "I'm not getting anywhere." Not for her glory, but for God's glory. And that win is limitless. As we've already said, what started here in Llano County, here in Texas, has spread all across the U.S. God says, I'll send my word forth and it will not return void. Limitless. And you and I have the part, have the opportunity to be a part of that limitless with an abundant life. Our God has no limits on what He will do for His children. Zero limits. He simply gives boundaries for our protection and our safety. I invite you to bow your head, close your eyes. I'm done.